in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, your promise here. Moving higher.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nell here. This edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Dawson Tire and Wheel, your premier ag tire and wheel provider in North America, helping people grow. Chip is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois. And Chip, may I tell you what, there is So how long have you and I been doing this, Chip? About 2 years now?
I'd say at least.
Yeah, so that's, when I just have you on as a guest and we started doing this normal thing, so it's been close to 2 years or if not more. And I think I picked the right time to do this because we've never had a lack of anything to talk about in the 2.5 years that we've been doing this, or 2 years or however long it's been that we've been doing this. So, and this morning is really no different than any other morning we've had. There's just all kinds of stuff going on out there, whether it's coronavirus or waiting on, is phase one even going to happen now? I mean, there's just all of this stuff happening. We got Tyson's talking about how they're going to they see a boost in sales because of the soaring prices of pork over in China. I mean, there's just all this stuff going on. So I guess while the world's going to hell in a handbasket, what's your commentation on that, I guess, for everybody out there?
Well, I think that's a pretty good overview, Casey. I mean, we have always had global markets, but they've never been as interconnected as they are right now. And then you throw in this coronavirus, and obviously that's kind of a black swan type deal, and not something that we've really faced very, very much in recent history anyway. And throw it all into that the big pot of stew, and man, you know, volatility is back in some regards, particularly in the livestock markets. You know, with that those comments from Tyson yesterday, you saw hogs scream limit up. And I don't know what to make of that. I mean, the hog market has been sitting here for you know, a year waiting for that, right? Our markets are just waiting for it, right?
Yep.
China's going to buy. We got a trade deal. They've got the you know, African swine fever. They're going to buy pork, and they've been buying a little bit, but it just hasn't been enough to really get the market excited. And then you see Tyson say that they mentioned what the 600% increase is what they expect on Chinese demand.
Yep.
That was more than what the market thought. But it's a typical thing again. It's okay, when are we going to see it? You know, you look at the weekly sales and 5,000 tons a week, you know, which hasn't even been that much. You know, 1,500 to 2,500 tons a week by China. That's not going to get to those numbers. It's certainly an increase, but it's not going to get to those massive numbers that the market hopes. They haven't bought any, you know, anything on the grain side yet. You know, the market seems disappointed by that, but yet the phase one agreement doesn't go into effect until next week anyway. So the market probably got a little ahead of itself, expecting you know, immediate gratification from the trade deal. Stock market, you know, crazy. With this coronavirus, you're thinking that I read this morning that they have 400 million people on the highest level of quarantine in China. If you think about that, that's more than
people in the U.S.
Exactly. And
by
so how can that not
yeah,
how can that not affect their economy and then trickle into the world? And, you know, stock market at all-time highs yesterday. It's just some bizarre stuff going on. So it's definitely interesting, but it's hard to navigate. And, you know, we preach about it all the time, but you got to have a plan. If you have a plan, you know, it at least you know what you're going to do whenever the market does its craziness, and helps alleviate a little bit of the stress around the markets anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's just the amount of stuff that's happening out there is something that you got to shake your head at a little bit and say, well, you know, what's next? You know, between this and China's gotten hammered here of late. I mean, between the swine fever deal and this coronavirus, and now the avian flu's turned around, they're talking about having to go off and kill a bunch of chickens now. There's just all kinds of stuff going on over there that can really affect the unrest in the marketplace for the people in China. Not necessarily the whole world, but you start getting people all fired up on the inside of a country because their food supply is not the way it used to be, or the amount of exports are putting out some manufacturing. I've read articles about that, how manufacturing is off where it should be, which makes sense. I mean, people can't work. You have 400 million people that can't go to work. It's going to affect some jobs, you know, and output. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on in China right now that have a, like you said, the global market impact is just, it's just amazing what we're looking at. But jumping over to some other markets here. So if you take a look, what's happened down in Argentina, let's go over there and talk about soybeans. The soybeans have just, you know, 1 week they're wicked down, next week they're up, and next thing, you know, so, but we haven't really broken through that $9 barrier in a while. And, you know, we got some rain down the soybean country down there in Argentina. So I guess what's your thought about as the markets open up today in soybeans, and what that does that look like now for the soybean marketplace?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that's kind of hanging over the bean market right now is it looks like pretty good crops down there. Now, there's pockets of Argentina that have struggled, been a little too dry. There's pockets of Brazil that are now getting too wet. But it sounds like there's big crops there, and it's February, and that's when you start seeing harvest pick up steam in Brazil. And so that's hanging over us. You know, the market says, get great, there's a phase one trade deal, but, you know, you're about to harvest what some people think is a record crop by far down in Brazil. China typically, makes all their purchases this time of year in the southern hemisphere anyway. So, great, we got a phase one trade deal, but they're probably not going to buy any beans anytime soon. I'm not saying that's the case. That's what the market thinks right now. And so that's really hanging over the bean market. The Brazilian farmer right now is pretty well healed, I would say. They've had some really favorable currency moves. They're getting, you know, really good prices for their beans, and it appears they've got really good yields. And so that's a great combination. You know, that's kind of the unicorn that all farmers seek is high price, high yield. They're getting it down there, and you know, that's definitely something that is a little bit of a, more than a little bit, a big headwind in the case of the bean market. Now, what would shock the market, though, is if China did start importing U.S. beans in February and March. I think that really would shock the market and give us a nice bounce. There's nothing to say they won't do that. Lots of questions there, though, as you mentioned, with coronavirus. You know, not only that, but, you know, shipping in and out of there. And there's 400 million people quarantined. I mean, what is it, like 1.3 billion people in China? But, you know, what's the effect? What's the downstream effects going to be? And even get stuff in and out of there is, you know, I read a thing about shipping containers, you know, and some of the issues around getting stuff in and out of that country. And so, you know, a lot of questions out there right now. But one of the biggest things fundamentally that we're, you know, hitting us right in the forehead right now is that harvest that's starting to pick up steam in Brazil. And it looks like a big, big crop down there. And maybe the one thing that could maybe give us a little support in the corn, if it lasts another 10 days or 2 weeks, is some abnormally wet weather in parts of Brazil that might delay their bean harvest. Probably won't affect their yield, but what it might do is slow down their second planting of corn down there, and they have a smaller window. They need to get that stuff in the ground quickly, and so if you delay that, that's likely going to either A, curtail corn acreage down there on their second crop, and or B, cause some yield loss, you know, on the potential crop down there. So that is something, but again, you know, after last year, the market's going to be pretty lax to add a lot of weather premium. But that second crop in Brazil, I think it's about 1.5 billion bushels normally. A lot of that's exported. It's a very definite competitor, you know, against U.S. corn. And so it does matter down there what they plant and what that crop size is on corn. So your next 2-3 weeks going to be start taking on more importance from a weather perspective in Brazil.
Yep. So the wheat market now has been dominated by lots of news about Russia, Ukraine, even France is in the news this morning about how exports hit record highs compared to what they've seen in any other time in their history. So it sounds like the wheat market has got some kind of bullish kind of looks there, I guess, right now if you start taking a look at what's going on around the world. Not necessarily the greatest fall planting season for wheat here in the U.S., so it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like coming into spring as we come out of winter. But when you start looking at the different stuff that's happening right now in the wheat market, there's got to be some positive signs out there that there's going to be a continued upward trend in wheat.
Yeah, it's confusing. The wheat market's a little bit confusing. But nonetheless, it continues to find support on breaks. And it rallies fairly easily right now. And so the conflicting news out there seems to be exactly what you said, like pretty good world demand. World wheat prices continue to rally. And that kind of, has the rising tide of cash wheat in the world has helped lift our prices as well. Now, the problem is we're not getting a lot of that business. A lot of that business is coming out of, like you said, France, Europe, Black Sea area. Russia is weird to kind of get some of the news digested out of there. On the one hand, their cash wheat prices are screaming higher. On the other hand, their government officials say, we got plenty of wheat and we might export more. Something doesn't make sense there. If there were big supplies, then their domestic prices wouldn't be rallying. So there's just a lot of conflicting information there. So what you got to do when that happens is you fall back on price, and price is going to tell you all you need to, no matter what people say about a big supply, little supply problems. Just look at a chart. And we're well off the highs, and as I look at a chart of wheat, there's some recent lows here, particularly the lows from Monday, are very important in wheat. And if we can hold those lows, I think we can maybe rally back towards the recent highs, which are, at this point, almost 40 cents above us. But I don't think, I think it's a case where if we take the lows out from earlier this week, just looking at a chart, you have to take a look and say, all right, I have to follow that. I have to respect that, no matter what the bullish news is in the world. And so I think we're at a place on the chart on wheat where, we've got a line in the sand. And either this week's lows hold and we continue to rally, and if they don't, I think maybe that's a bigger sign that maybe we've seen, at least an intermediate to longer-term top in the wheat market. And still, it's not too late. And we still had a nice rally off the lows over the last 6-7 months here. And but I think we really have to watch that wheat and particularly the lows from earlier this week.
Absolutely. Okay, so one other thing that we talk about on here every time that you're on here is getting that plan put together. And I'm reading an article this morning before we get going here, and I'm kind of perusing through it right now as we're doing the show. OPEC's looking at cutting 600,000 barrels a day. That's going to drive the price of fuel up. You know what I mean? That's what they're trying to do. Locking in those diesel contracts coming for the upcoming harvest and planting season, both are going to get to be a big deal. So I guess what's your thoughts on what's going on in the oil market, and what do you think? Do you feel like this could make a significant enough jump that there could be some adverse effects felt across the farming community here in the U.S.?
Well, a couple things. Yes, I do. You've had a tremendous break lower in energy prices. Crude oil, is struggling to hold $50 a barrel. Obviously diesel and unleaded follow that. The heating oil futures, basically are is where the the diesel market prices off of. And so to answer your question, yes, I think it does make sense to begin locking some fuel needs in. I don't know if I go crazy and lock a whole year's supply in just yet. The issue is a couple things. Number one, just from a purely seasonal standpoint, February usually marks or can many times in recent years mark a significant low just seasonally with the way the usage is and the way they configure the refineries to whether they want to blend for diesel fuel or unleaded. They start cranking up unleaded because summer's coming and warmer weather, and at the expense of heating oil, and that can kind of curtail supplies there. So long answer, Casey, yes, you definitely, one of the inputs that has gone down on the farm here over the last few months, yes, you got to take a look at it, probably do some action if you can, if you have the on-farm storage, take a look at locking some of that in. Certainly, if we go lower, the fact that that OPEC is talking about cutting production tells you that there's some supply issues there and fears about that world growth, like we talked about earlier. If you keep going lower, I think that there is that potential risk that you could go another 20, 30 cents lower in the heating oil market. And if you saw that, then maybe I'd, step up and be a little more aggressive. But absolutely have to keep that on the radar screen here, probably lock part of it in. It's been a big drop off the highs and certainly, something that is dollars in your pocket from an input standpoint on the farm.
Absolutely. All right, a couple reports coming out today. One is the monthly employment summary comes out today. It looks like they're anticipating another 150 or so thousand jobs that got created here over the last month. So I think going to see some movement in the marketplace that way. And the other one that we're paying attention to is the red meat production report that comes out today. So those two things coming out, I guess what's your reaction to those? And are you anticipating to see upward movement in the beef market because of that? Or do you feel like there's going to be enough production in coming off the feedlots right now that there could be some downward trending in the cattle market?
Yeah, well, we've had a break off the highs here recently, and the funds have liquidated some of their length in the cattle market. I think that's still going to be tied to and pushed and pulled between, is world growth slowing because of this coronavirus thing, and or is China going to step up to the plate here once the official D-Day of that taking effect next week comes to pass? And start buying, potentially some U.S. beef, U.S. pork. So I think we're going to be pushed and pulled in here. We've had a definite break off the highs. A little fearful. We're trading about 119.70-something in the April live cattle. A little fearful that we need to break that further down into the 116 area. But I think if you do, we're going to find good support down there. And seasonally, things can kind of get better here, going into spring. And I think the window's still there for the next 90 days to have good support in cattle. Not that they can't go another $3-4 lower, but I don't think they'll stay there if they do. And you always have that wild card of, any point in time you can wake up, particularly here starting after the 14th, I believe, is when that phase one trade deal takes in effect.
Right.
One of these days you're going to wake up and see the reports, China bought X, and once they buy it, no matter what it is, rice, cotton, whatever it is that they buy that's clearly designated as far as that phase one trade deal, it's going to go a long way towards stabilizing our grain markets and probably putting a pretty healthy bounce in at that point.
Yeah, I think when that takes place, the weekly export reports are going to be such a hinge point for the market that it's going to be, I don't know if they're even... I just feel like they're going to have more weight on that than there any other report that comes out anytime during the month.
Yeah, and they already are to some extent, especially in the on the pork side. It used to be pork and beef export sales every Thursday were they put those out too. No one paid attention to them, and boy, the hog market certainly does. And the strange thing is, China's been there every week. They're still. They've been buying pork for months. It just hasn't been in the big coin. So I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, but you know, if they're already buying pork ahead of this phase one deal, once it takes into effect, I mean, to me, it's not a stretch to think they're going to really ramp up those purchases. Obviously, Tyson thinks that as well, or they wouldn't have made those comments yesterday about a 600% increase in Chinese demand. So, the way I read it, you can almost construe it that they're already, you know, making those purchases. It was a little confusing, the quote I read, but nonetheless, the Tyson comments yesterday really got the hog market excited. We closed the limit up in multiple contract months in hogs. So let's hope they know what they're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Chip, well, good stuff as usual. Folks need to make a plan now. There's lots of stuff going on now that is outside of the norm of the marketplace with all the different stuff we see happening in the world. Folks need to make that plan. If they're working on one or have got one that they need just some help with, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way is just call our office, 309-550-7213. We'd love to talk to you about what your plan is, how you can improve your plan, and just chat with you about risk management in general. So don't hesitate to give us a call.
Right on. All right, Chip Nellinger with Blue Reef Ag Marketing in Morton, Illinois. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Make sure you check out the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and just about any place else you can find a podcast. Hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. And make sure you check out the Global Ag Network and all the other great podcasters out there on that network. For all those out there, make sure you check out MovingIronLLC.com for the latest news about Moving Iron. And Moving Iron Summit's coming up here September 1 through 3 in Nashville, Tennessee. That seems to be the new unofficial home of that. So for all the folks out there that are interested in doing something like that, hit me up at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com, and I'll get you some information on that. So I guess with that being said, I'm Casey Seymour with Chip Nellinger. Let's go move some iron, folks. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people.